This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
So long, Bear Stearns.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. After 85 years on Wall Street, the investment bank Bear Stearns is about to disappear. This morning, the bank's shareholders vote on the J.P. Morgan buyout. The price is $10 a share. Incredible, considering the stock was worth $154 a year ago. That was right before Bear Stearns imploded from bets on subprime mortgages. Now shareholders have no choice but to take this deal. Jill Barshay reports.
Back in March, Bear Stearns shareholders griped the bank was being given away for a pittance. Dick Bove is a banking analyst at Ladenburg Thalmann. He says things have quieted down as the 85-year-old investment bank has continued to lose customers and money.
The recognition has now dawned on the people at Bear Stearns that, in fact, the company is totally bankrupt and insolvent, and that essentially $10 is certainly better than what they really deserve, which is nothing.
J.P. Morgan wants to erase the taint of Bear Stearns' financial losses. It's stripping the Bear Stearns brand off of almost everything, even the company's high-tech building, which J.P. Morgan is moving into this summer. The Bear brand survives on just a single division, which manages money for wealthy individuals. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
I'm going to play We're in the Money this morning because it's been a while and stocks everywhere are up. In Japan today, the Nikkei had a big gain, 3%, the best day in 2 months. Mainly it's the yen losing some value, which helps Japanese exporters. In the rest of Asia and in Europe, stocks have climbed about 0.5%. The Dow is at 12,594 after adding a fraction yesterday, 45 points. The NASDAQ was up 5. The S&P 500 gained 5 points as well. Last year, the winning word was Serfin. S-E-R-R-E-F-I-N-E. It's a blood vessel clamp. Today, the finals of the Scripps National Spelling Bee get underway in Washington. This year, a record 288 spellers are participating. The Spelling Bee has become quite the international business. John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
Thanks to an Oscar-nominated documentary, a best-selling novel, a hit Broadway musical, and a feature-length movie, spelling bees are hip, and not just in the U.S.
We have inquiries from China and Taiwan and South Korea and Malaysia.
The director of the National Spelling Bee, Paige Kimball, says there are 22 non-native English speakers among this year's finalists, competing for a $40,000 first-place prize. That includes students from Ghana and South Korea.
The ultimate mark of having mastered the English language is to be able to say that you're a champion speller. And so they want to demonstrate their mastery by participating in spelling bees.
For the third year in a row, the ABC TV network will broadcast Friday's final competition live. And for the international audience, ESPN360.com will stream today's quarterfinals live on their website. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com.
The yo-yoing of gas prices, or oil prices rather, is dizzying. Oil hit $126 a barrel yesterday, then shot up to $131. This morning, it's back down to $130. There's a theory going around that huge investors, called index speculators by some, are one reason for the volatility and the price spikes. Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent, is here. Chris, do index and speculators really belong together?
It doesn't seem to go together. It's an oxymoron. And I don't think that this is a major factor behind the price increase. I remember in the 1990s, there was a lot of commentary that it was the equity index funds, the embrace of equity index funds by pension funds and other institutional investors that was driving prices higher, not the fundamentals. You know, yeah, there's a little bit of an impact on prices, but the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and a lot of other people have looked into it pretty closely, and they come away and they say, look, yes, there can be some sort of short-term price movements, but what's really driving prices? It's that old Mr. Supply and Mr. Demand.
But I'm getting emails from people who are saying, you know, I don't really buy the whole supply and demand thing outright, that there are right. some other factors going on here.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. Now, for example, the index speculators, let's just use that term since I love it. they must be having a little bit of influence on prices. You can't have $1 billion a day going in and not having perhaps some kind of an influence. And, you know, I know we've talked about dollar weakness and fears of inflation driving more money into commodities. But underlying it all in this market, whether it's food, oil, or other commodities, is that the demand, and particularly because of fast growth in the emerging markets, is outrunning supply. There are just some real reasons to believe that it's very difficult for a lot of the producing nations to ratchet up their supply over a long period of time.
Well, for smaller investors, should they be following the lead of these big institutional investors and getting into these index commodities funds?
I think there are two statements that can be made forcefully. First, for most individual investors, it makes sense in today's world to add to their diversification through a commodity index mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, which is another way of buying a commodity index. The second statement is, with prices at the level that they're at, I think the timing is off. So I'd wait.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Right now, you can buy gasoline for about $2 at some stations in New York. Now, before you get in your car and start driving there, that's $2 for a half gallon. The state is allowing older gas stations to charge by the half gallon because their pumps won't go beyond $3.99. New York is requiring the stations to get new pump computers. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.